time, someplace in the world. We don't get to see him hardly at all. And you know what? Karen, most of you know Karen, said to me one time, she says, Dad, when in fact it was the first time we were putting on her the plane to Germany, I was crying like a little baby. And she says to me, Dad, grow up. We might be apart for a few years, but we'll spend eternity in heaven. You know what? She says, you told me that all my life. But I didn't really mean it. But let me introduce the best part of my life, the lady behind the scenes that doesn't hardly get any credit at all, Mary Lynn. Her and I have been married for 64 years. Her 32, me 32. But she's the one that tries to make me look good, you know, and she chases me around with a lint roller all the time, and you're going to be up in front of people, and she makes sure I have water and, you know, everything I need. So, and she's the one that's gone through the trials and tribulations of that. I haven't really gone. I can live in a car out of a suitcase the rest of my life if I had to, but she's the one that had to give everything away, and she's the one that... we felt like we really were in a fire. While you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 tonight, well, Pastor wanted me to share that with you. I went down to the United States to go to the dentist because the dentist is a lot cheaper down there. I had to have two root canals done. So I'm on my way down to get two root canals done, which is 5-6 hours from our home. So we get down in there and I get all the work done and I'm on my way back and we get to the border. And they started questioning us about coming back. We've been there in Canada 6 years. So they started questioning us and got all the information, and we passed through that border many, many times. And the border guard, the last question they ask is, are you Canadian citizens? And we said, no. She said, do you have your paperwork? I said, yes. And the visa that we had, it was expired, but I had a government letter stating as long as it was applied for, these visas were good. Government stamp and everything on it. She says, that's not good enough, pull over. They pulled our vehicle over, tore everything out of our vehicle, and took me inside. They stripped me down to my waist. I had my pants on. They took everything out of my pockets. My hands were on a counter. And they three guards questioned me for almost 5 hours. One question right after another. Here, not too long before that, I had two, I believe, I don't know for sure, I have no proof, but I believe I had two government agents come to the church. They come in dressed really, really nice, $600-$700 suits. And I have them fill out a visitor card. Well, I went to visit them. I couldn't find them. Everything was fictitious on the card. No phone number, no address, no nothing. So I don't know for sure. So we get to the border, and they, after talking to us, they refused us entry. I said, you know, we have 32 years worth of marriage, of things up there. What are we going to do? At that time, the guy said, tough. Said, okay, so we'll just go another route. So they kicked us out. All we had was the clothes on our back. They took our driver's license. They seized all of our financial stuff. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. And by that time, the anesthesia was coming off, and I was starting to be in a lot of pain. And my flesh wanted to take over and start a war right at the border with Canada and the United States, but I didn't. So I figure I named this border guard Saul. He's a young kid that just got a brand new badge, and he was proud of it. So we're going to go back to visit Saul so we can hopefully help him change his name to Paul when we get back there. But they refused us entry. So for 4 days, we took turns hiding in the washroom so we could wash each other's clothes. It was kind of neat. Go to the laundromat, and she had to go in, lock the door, and throw out her clothes, and the same thing with me, you know. So I'm glad there wasn't a fire. So anyhow, we...
Now this happened in America at the Canadian border.
Yes, it did.
We're not talking about China. We're not talking about Cambodia. We're talking about America.
So we didn't know what to do, and about that time we were kind of getting a little discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? What I like to do when I'm discouraged is go tell someone about the Lord. The Lord allowed me to lead a 36-year-old man to him, you know, shortly after that time.
Amen.
Got to go to church. I got to go to church in blue jeans and an old ratty shirt. I thought it was awesome. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, maybe we ought to do this more often. We can dress like this. So after 4 days, we went back up to the border and said, we need to get in and get our stuff. What can we do? The snotty young nose border guard looked at me and says, I'll give you 3 days to get in and pack up and get out. 32 years worth of marriage and three children, and, you know, at that time, three grandchildren, you accumulate a few things. So it was impossible. So some friends come down from the church, and we gave them a key. They snuck back in and went into the house and started. The lady started packing some things at Maryland. We'd communicate by phone and started packing some of the things that her mom gave her, and, you know, grandparents and things like that, and pictures. She gave everything away. We don't have a bed to sleep in. But I'm telling you, the van we drive, you put the seats back, they're pretty comfortable. And I sleep when I'm driving anyway. So anyhow, you know, my wife never complained at all. You know, and she said to me, she says, well, that's okay, because we usually get our furniture at early American garage sale. And there's always a garage sale out there. So we know the Lord's going to take care of it. And right now we have a immigration lawyer. There's only two that are in the United States that handle cases like ours. We hired her. She's charging us $250 an hour. So when she calls, I say, talk fast. I'll listen hard and fast. So she's very gracious, but we have a lady working on it, and she has compassion. So she said, everything's looking good. That church is too small to let go right now. We've got to get back there. And I think we can come back. She said everything's looking good to get back in the country. But it's because of folks like you praying and giving like you do and being so faithful to missionaries. And we appreciate you folks. But other than that, there's, you know, no other troubles. We've seen a lot of people saved. In the video, you've seen an elderly couple there sitting. I was sitting there at the table with them. Those right there are because of your prayers, those folks. Those folks are there because of you giving. Let me tell you what had happened. We went to our mall there in Cranbrook. All six stores were open that night. And we went shopping. Actually, we went out to pass out gospel tracts. My wife gave a gospel tract to a lady. She had called me. I was able to lead her to the Lord over the phone. She started coming to church. She said to me, preacher, she said, I've got some friends of ours that you need to save them like you did me. She didn't know the terminology. She knew what she had. I said, okay. She said, there's a problem, though. He's in the hospital. I said, well, that's all right. I went over to the hospital, but the problem was he was in a coma for 45 straight days. I went there morning and night. Knelt next to this man's bed and prayed this prayer, God, keep Alec alive. I've got something important to tell him. 45 straight days, day and night. He come out of his coma. They didn't expect him to live. He come out of his coma. And shortly after that, I was leaving his room because he wasn't strong enough yet to really get into things. He looked at me. I never prayed that prayer while he was conscious. He looked at me and he said, by the way, what's this important thing you have to tell me? I kind of went, huh? I said, Alec, I want to tell you how you too can know for sure you can go to heaven. Alec looked at me and said, stop! Don't say another word! You get over there on that phone and you get my wife here. I want her to hear this also.
Amen.
Guy had enough strength to yell at me when he was dying. Called his wife. She came in. Took her about 45 minutes to get there. And I led both of them to the Lord in the hospital. And that you've seen was a result of a home study Bible class. He's not strong enough to go to church, but he can sit at the table for a couple hours while we have our time in the Word. I go there three times a week. This man beat his wife. This man was a drinker. He did drugs. Used God's name in vain. Smoked like a chimney. It was just, his life was just unreal. He calls me every other day and asks me when we're coming back. This man tells me he loves me. His wife, I'll talk to her every once in a while on the phone. She says, I just can't believe the change. I'll read Corinthians 5:17. And I said, Ruth, he's a new creature. She says, oh boy, do I know it. I never had a man speak sweeter to me than he does now.
Amen.
This is what you praying. This is what you giving. This is what you concerns have for missionaries do. And stories, they, how we are protected. You know, a lot of people I've talked to said, boy, you've been through some persecution. No, I haven't. Not at all. I'd gladly give up a house full of furniture, a vehicle, whatever it takes to see a 36-year-old man saved. You know, we think we have a lot of faith in America. Boy, we have faith if we have a cupboard full of food, don't we? We have faith if we have a month's worth of our bills paid up. We have faith if we got money in the bank. Sometimes we don't know what faith is. Right now, we need to raise more support to go back. Please pray for us. Grab one of those cards and pray for us. We need to raise support quickly to get back there. So God can take care of some things that are there. I tell you, the Lord is blessed. We've seen, I don't know how many people come to know the Lord. He's given me another opportunity to sing the national anthems, the Canadian and the American national anthem at the big hockey arena there. And these big hockey players have played, Stevie Eiserman and the Niedermeyer brothers, and they're all from that town. And I got to meet their parents and meet them guys and everything, and I got to sing. I sing right in stand right in the middle of the ice and sing both anthems. And a lot of people got to know the arena. I'm not sure how many it holds, but it's full because it's a hockey town. And we've seen a lot of people come to church because of that. But God is good in opening doors. We deal with polygamous, the polygamy up there. That's where a man can have more than one wife. And I was able to talk to the prophet, the head prophet of a place called Bountiful, which is about an hour and a half from us. Him and his group comes to the hockey games. This man has 37 wives. But I told him, and I got to talking to him, and he's kind of a jokester type thing. He's got a good sense of humor. And I asked him about heaven. He said, well, you have to have at least three wives to get to heaven the way they believe. I wouldn't think that would be heaven at all. I have a hard enough time making one happy. But I was joking with him. I said, you know, if you have 37 wives, you must have 37 mother-in-laws. You're getting punished on earth. But I got to witness to him. He hasn't got saved, but can you imagine? 90-some children, 37 wives, the effect we can have in that one town. His name is Winston Blackmore. You pray that Winston gets saved. You pray that we get back there so he can get saved. 1 Thessalonians. Now, we'll stick around and answer any questions you have later about Canada if you want. I know the hour is getting late, and we'll get through this real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For yourself, brother, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanliness, nor guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Lord and God in heaven, we thank you again so much for this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and open the Word of God. God, I pray that I would not say anything that shouldn't be said. But God, I pray that our hearts would be turned to your Word for the next few moments. But God, that we would see you through the Scripture. Lord, that our hearts would become closer to you because of your Word. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, God, I pray tonight, whether it be downstairs or in the other buildings, wherever folks are meeting tonight, I pray that tonight, if someone doesn't know, that they would make that settled in their heart, in their life, before they leave here tonight. Oh, God, thank you again. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, you read about the Lord's, Jesus' Beatitudes, but I thought, you know, how do we reflect those Beatitudes? We're all familiar with them, the Wednesday night crowd. Everybody knows them. As we see the Scriptures and read the Scriptures, we can look at this as a sacred trust. You know, once we get saved, once you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a sacred trust that God puts in our lives that we need to get out. And you know, that sacred trust that you were given was proven, I guess, this Sunday when you gave those Bibles. Do you realize that one day somebody is going to come up to you in heaven and they're going to put their arms around your neck and give you a big hug and say, hey, thank you so much. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving. Because of you, somebody brought the Bible to me. Because of you, somebody told me about Jesus. Because of you, you're the one that got saved. Amen. And I'm here today. But you know, look at Satan. I wrote just this up this afternoon thinking, you know, Satan might have some Beatitudes. You know how the Beatitudes are, blessed are they. I thought maybe we can look at this and be careful on how Satan can attack us and how Satan tempts us. First of all, I got number one, blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, and too distracted. They are my best workers. You know, a lot of times we get distracted with the things of the world and we don't do the things of the Lord. We sing that song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus when it's convenient for me. Blessed are those who wait to ask and expect to be thanked. You know, Satan has said, I can use them in my business. We get people that get hurt feelings all the time. But I tell you, we went to this one church, and we usually try to sit in the second row, and I think I even asked somebody tonight, does anybody sit there? Because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And we went there, and if you do sit there, get over it. No. But we went to this one church, and it was a huge church. And we like to get there early, and I was sitting there, and I had my Bible open. I'm reading it, and all of a sudden I hear this foot tapping next to me on the floor. A lady's got her arms crossed, and I look up at her, and I was going to say, hi, how you doing? But I didn't have a chance to anything. She looks at me, and she says, you're sitting in my pew. My flesh wanted to say, I thought it smelled like you, but I didn't. Oh, wrong pew. Okay, we got to spell them right. But I said, would you like me to move? She said, no, you're already sitting there. I thought, well, that's a wise, you know, she can really see well. So not too shortly after that, a fella come in and he introduced himself as the head deacon. Wow, I get to meet the head deacon. Can I have your autograph? I didn't say that. You know, I can be sarcastic, and I can ask my wife. But he says to me, is that your vehicle parked out in the parking lot? Yes. I thought, what kind of test is this? I never had this one. I'm trying to go over my notes in my head. Did I study for this? He says, we just done our parking lot. Did you know that thing's leaking oil all over everything? I looked at him. I says, praise God, it still had some in it. I said, I'll move it, sir. And I moved it back across their parking lot and come back in, and the preacher introduced me to preach, and you should have seen the look on those two faces. I didn't say a word. Aye. Blessed are those who wait to ask and expect to be thanked. Blessed are those who are touchy. Soon they will stop even going to church because you get offended. Blessed are those who cause trouble. The devil says, they are my beloved children. Blessed are those who have no time to pray. They will be my prey, P-R-E-Y. Blessed are those who gossip. Those are my secret agents. Blessed are those who hear this and think, I'm thinking about others and this has nothing to do with me. Satan has those type of little beatitudes in his little ministry, if you want to call it that too. You know, it's nothing that he'll want to cause contention in our lives. He'll want to cause contention so his work won't get done. Do you have a sacred trust that Jesus gives you? The Apostle Paul viewed his ministry of preaching and teaching God's word as a sacred trust because God had given it to him. Boy, I tell you, when you accepted Christ as Savior, you automatically had that sacred trust. You had that heart that was supposed to be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a new creature. In our text, in verse 4, it says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God. The Bible is telling us we have that trust. We need to get the gospel out. You know, one day we're going to all leave this earth. There's going to be that great shout and that trumpet, and we're going to be out of here. Maybe we're waiting for some person in the sound of my voice tonight to give that gospel track out or to tell somebody about Jesus before we leave this earth. Maybe we're waiting on you to get that gospel track out. Maybe because we're lazy. Maybe because we don't care about others. Maybe because of the fact that we're only thinking about ourselves. Paul took his responsibility of having a sacred heart and a sacred trust seriously. Do we? You know, it's so inconvenient for us a lot of times to pass out a gospel tract. You know, we have to make up excuses to talk to people. Or we can't talk to them because of that. We were down south and we get to adopt grandchildren and we go from church to church. And with this little 5-year-old girl down south, she had such a southern accent. It was just awesome. So she was the assistant pastor's daughter. So we said to her, I says, little Kelly, I said, Kelly, is there an ice cream place around here? She says, yes, Brother Gordy, there's Skeeves. I said, okay, let's go talk to your dad, see if you can interpret that for me. So I said, hey, we want to take you guys out and get an ice cream. And Kelly was all excited about going to get an ice cream. And because a 5-year-old doesn't listen very well. And I'm beginning to think a lot of times we as older Christians, we don't listen very well. Because I said it with an exciting voice. Says, oh boy, Kelly, we're going to go get some ice cream. Everybody in the group is going to get some ice cream but you. And she's going, yay! She didn't listen. But do we listen to God's word when it says we have to do something? We got in there and I said to her, she got at the counter, and of course they put that ice cream all right there where the kids can put their nose right on the glass. And I always said, I want the stuff with the green stuff. Oh no, that wasn't there. I said, what do you think, Kelly? What are we going to get? She said, I like that one and I like that one. I said, well, let's make it this high. She says, okay. So got done getting the ice cream and paid for it and everything. And I said to the owner there, and I didn't know what he said. I said, you're the proprietor here? He said, yes, sir. I said to him, would you answer me a question? I'm curious about this. Ice cream is so good, isn't it? How many here like ice cream?
Amen.
Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? I said, do you think there's going to be ice cream in heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, you know what? There ain't going to be ice cream in hell. It's too hot. Where are you going when you die? Had the opportunity to get a gospel track and talk to the man a while. We need to take every opportunity to get the gospel out. It might be our fault. Are you doing that trust that the Lord give you? We can see that Paul, he was faithful. In verse 1, for yourselves, brother, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. When Paul and Silas and Timothy arrived in Thessalonica to preach the gospel, their work, as some were accusing, was not in vain. They went there to do a work. Man, you're here to do a work. Whether you go to work and give a gospel tract out or just live your life the way you're supposed to, people will read that and say, hey, I want part of that. I want to be like that person. You know, a lot of Bibles people read are us. What kind of interpretation are we giving them of his word? Boy, I tell you, it's funny how we can get excited about different things. What's the big sport down here? Basketball? You guys got the Cavalier cleaving, whatever they are. Yeah, you got all that football. There's what? How many does the stadium hold? 70, 80, 90,000? Oh, 1,482 billion? Why do people get excited about a leather thing that big when it goes over a little white line? Yahoo! It went over the line! Did you see it? And then if they don't think it went over, somebody else is going to get mad on the other team. But why? Where would our country be if everyone in the United States that said they were Christian would act like one? You think we'd even have the two people running for the president that we have now?
No, sir.
Not at all. In fact, I'm going to vote for Obama, because as soon as he gets in, I know the Lord's coming back. Your preacher said it. Miss Sarah is the best man for the job.
Obama's a good candidate for him.
Yes. And it don't make sense to me. I was listening on the way over here today while we were driving. And they had a dinner that the Hollywood idiots paid $28,500 for a plate of spaghetti.
Yeah.
You talk about, where are their brains? That should have been really a big plate of spaghetti. And I hope they got garlic bread. He was fruitful. The word vain in our verse here, number one, means empty. Their ministry was not without results. Your ministry here is not going to be without results because of the fact that you stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you stay fruitful, because you're not only given to missions, you're not only given praying for missionaries, but you're doing the work here. Look around you and see the change in people's lives. We can see also that he was forceful. Verse 2, but even after that, we had suffered before, and we were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto the gospel of God with much contention. No matter what come after them, they still spoke about the gospel. We quit a lot of times, don't we? Boy, we don't. Oh, I don't want to come to church tonight, preacher. Do you realize that I have a hangnail? And it hurts. And my mom's not around to kiss it. She's way over there. I heard somebody with compassion. Aw. How are we going to stand before God and give an account? We've got a lot to account for. I am so thankful for my wife. And she doesn't complain at all. Not at all. There's times where when the kids were little, we've been without food in our ministry. We went without eating for 3 days one time and just had enough to feed the kids. 3 days. She didn't complain at all. We had this old prayer couch we used to pray at, and the, one of the legs were broke off, and we'd take 3 songbooks home to stack them up in the back to make it level. Well, I had the bright idea one time. I said, you know what? I said, we're going to take 2 songbooks out of there. We're going to invite men over that have change in their pocket. And hopefully it falls out. Don't laugh. It works. We had a time in a church plant where I couldn't find a job. We had no income coming in. We weren't missionary supported. Had absolutely nothing. The lights were shut off. The phone was shut off. The rent was due. We had absolutely no money at all to put in a gas tank. Nothing. My wife was literally feeding our children their last meal that we had in the house. And I'm not telling you this for you to feel sorry for me, because my God will take care of everything. He loves it. I love it when I go to the pumps and I can only pay $3 and $4 a gallon. You go up to Canada where it's $8 and $9 a gallon, where it cost me $200 to fill that van up. Man, it clicked off at $50-some the first time I filled it up here, and I thought, man, there's something wrong. I'm pumping in, gas is running all over. Praise God, we got enough to waste. But as we looked at that last meal for the children, again, that was a time where we were getting a little bit discouraged. And I got mad. I was blaming God. God, you put me in this situation. Why can't I even find a job to feed my family? We'd pray at that couch. We got done praying, and the phone started ringing. And we started discussing the phone ringing. It's been shut off for a month. And my wife has always been smarter than me. She says, well, aren't you going to answer it? Oh, yeah. I get on the other end of that phone, and a voice comes on and says, you don't know me, Pastor Rankin, but if you can come to my house, I've got something for someone in the church. Okay, we didn't have any gas at all in the car. That's where the couch come in handy. We went over there and turned the couch upside down. We got like $1.37. Went to the service station and said, here, buddy, put it all in. Don't laugh. We got over a gallon back then. Went to the guy's house and got this great big box of sausage sticks. Those ones about that big, that long, and about that big around, filled with the herbs and the garlics. I haven't eaten for 3 days. I'm carrying this out. I'm starting to drool. I mean, I'm doing this. Get out there. And he said, wait, we got another one. He says, there's a big box of cheese, and the cheese blocks in there. And I start carrying them out. And he says, would you make sure someone in the church that needs some food gets this? Do you know of anybody? I said, let me think about it. Oh, yes. We didn't tell anybody that we were without food. We don't tell our needs unless we're asked. And my wife hates this part of the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Watch her. Just look at her. Stand up and turn around. I tell everybody, we might have had bad breath, and we were constipated, but God took care of us. Why do you have to tell that? Because God will take care of matters. That's why she wears red, because it goes right through. Now you know how to pray for her. Paul was forthright also. In verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanliness, nor in guile. The message and the messenger were not at all corrupt or deceitful. Paul went for a purpose. What is our purpose in our life as a Christian? What's your purpose here on earth? What are you supposed to be doing? If you know Christ as your Savior, your job is to lead people to the Lord. You don't have any other choice. The Bible says, go into the world. Go ye into the world. I can't even quote the verse. Help me out, preacher. Go into the world and only if you want to. Why not? That's a suggestion, not a command, right? Doesn't it say go? But how in the world can I go? I'm 82 years old. I'm 90-some years old. You can go on your knees. Well, I can't even get on my knees. Well, it's not a position of the body. It's a position of your heart. We're staying at a church while we're in the Michigan area, in the northern part. We're staying at a church in Oxford, Michigan right now. The church allowed us to stay in their basement while we have meetings around here. And there's a young lady there that comes in every Tuesday and cleans the church. She also cuts 10.7 acres of grass by herself. She's only 92. I was going to be really tough and a hero, and I was going to go help her. I went over there, and I was on her lawnmower for 7 straight hours. She says, well, when I was younger, I used to be able to do that, but now I have to do it in 3 days. But yet she takes time to come and clean the church. She's doing her part. And I know she prays for us. It's funny because she calls me that missionary guy. Paul was forthright. What excuse are we going to make? You know, we can lie to each other, can't we? We can lie to our spouse. We can lie to our preacher. You ain't going to lie to God. Absolutely not. You're not going to lie to God at all. Our hearts. Paul was getting the message out. How did he do that? Well, I think he might have had something to do with 2 Timothy 2:15, as a very familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved unto man, does it say? But why do we have to be approved in our own mind unto man? We got to have the style and clothes. And we got to have this and that. You know, we were just at a church this past Sunday, and they had like a missions infants Sunday, and people dressed up from different countries. I thought that was awesome. I told the preacher, I'm going to dress up like the ghetto kid. I wanted to wear my pants down to here and get a hat on sideways. He said, no, that's not good. I said, you've seen me dressed like that, haven't you? It's amazing what the world is like. And to me, it's more amazing the Christian wants to be right close to the world. Why do we have to be that way? I was witnessing to a young fella at a Burger King one time. It's when the earrings first come out for fellas. And he was there with an older gentleman. It was his grandfather. I didn't know that at the time. Walked over and handed him a gospel tract, and I says, here, I want you to read this. This is something to tell you how you know for sure you can get to heaven, what the Bible says. And I said, can I ask you a question there, young fella? He said, yeah. I noticed you have an earring in your ear. He said, yeah. I says, wow. I says, but I'm really stupid. I said, you got 2 ears and you only have 1 earring. He says, that's because if you wear it on one side, you're a sodomite. He didn't use those terms. But if you wear it on the other side, you're straight. I says, okay. Which one are you? He said, oh, I got it on the correct side. He said, I'm not that way. I'm tough. I said, so you're telling me you're this far from being queer? That's good. That's good. His grandfather literally fell off the little bench he was sitting on laughing and saying, I told you, boy, I told you, boy. He said it was a style. I said, I can understand a style, man. When I was growing up, we had bell-bottom pants. I'm preacher, huh? I just found out the preacher is just a few years older than I am. I thought he was like hundreds of years older than I am. I hope I don't look like that. I mean, I hope I look that good when I get his age. There goes that support. He was faithful. Paul was faithful. Are we faithful? You know, it's funny. Like I said, we can be faithful and fruitful when things are going the way we think they should be going. What do you do when you get discouraged? Oh, poor was me. Oh, poor me. We don't know how good we have. We have absolutely no idea how good we have it. How many here are sleeping out in the street tonight? How many here didn't eat the last couple days? How many here had to walk? I was going to say how many here without electricity, but I heard the preacher say he didn't have some. I ain't say that. But yet, we whine and we cry. Does God look down on us and just shake his head? I wonder sometimes. I just wonder. Paul was faithful. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God, I like that verse. But as we were, what? Allowed. God allows us. God allows us to be the testimony. God allows us to give the gospel. God allows us. To be where we're at. I was talking to some of the fellas before church tonight. Somebody asked me how I was doing. I said, man, I'm doing great. I read the obituaries and my name wasn't there. And I'm changing my name to Zachary Zamboni because everybody dies alphabetically. Well, read the obituaries. They die alphabetically. The word allowed here means approved. The word approved means tested and found valid. Will we pass the test? Will you pass the test? Paul, Silas, and Timothy were approved of God to be put in trust with the gospel. I believe we can read in the Bible where Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. And what were they doing? Singing. And people got saved because even during a time of turmoil in their lives, they showed the joy of Jesus from inside out. You know, and we think we got it bad. Are you faithful? And last of all, Paul was focused. There was a report on the radio also, and I heard today that the question was asked, how many children do you think play video games in the United States? If you said all of them, you're right. Hours and hours and hours testing the children that they play videos. And the parents are right there with them. Where's our priorities? You know, I appreciate a Wednesday night crowd. And I think it's a privilege to stand here before a Wednesday night crowd because these are the sweetest people in most churches. These are the folks that truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. Many you have to get up and go to work in the morning. Many you have to work long hours. Many you probably come right straight from work just to get here. I believe God's going to honor that. I really believe that. I know God's going to honor that. He's going to see that you're faithfully focused on Him. Look at verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, not yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. Paul did not preach to receive praise of men. Paul did not preach to get special favors and attentions as a noted theologian. Paul did not preach for applause. As apostles, they could have, you know, asserted their authority. But they did not. Paul and the others were only seeking the glory of God. I believe when we're focused on the glory of God, going to put a lot of us to shame. We need to focus on God's glory. And what's the thing that glorifies God the most? Is taking someone to heaven with you. You know, I told my wife if I die before she does, she said that's going to happen. I said, you know what I want? I want you to get a U-Haul, and I want you to put it behind the hearse, and I want you to decorate the hearse up like a wedding, and I want you to drive around town blowing the horn. I want you to go through McDonald's, and, well, not anymore now that they changed their policy and they're giving to the sodomites. Go to Burger King, and go through the drive-thru, and the whole procession, the funeral procession, buy them a burger on me. We can't take anything with us. Like I said earlier, your crowns, your jewels are laid up in heaven by your prayers and by your giving and by those Bibles that were sent over the Philippines. What an amazing thing, church. What an amazing thing. That gives me Jesus bumps. I'm telling you, that's an awesome thing to see. That you're concerned about the gospel around the world. How many missionaries do you have, preacher? 100 missionaries. Wow. Wow. But you know what? Our God's faithful. I can see it time after time after time after time after time how God takes care of the needs. Many, many times we've been in. We literally ran out of gas in a church parking lot one day. Snowstorm. I was supposed to preach. We had 1,700 miles to get home. We didn't have any money again. I think it's neat when you don't have any sense. Then you have to rely on God. Snow was just coming down. We got like 2 feet of snow that day. And I was supposed to preach that Sunday night. 3 people showed up in church. And then the pastor's family came in late. I preached like there was 1 million people there. God just laid it up on my heart. Kept taking offerings. No, I didn't. After the service, the pastor says, I don't know. I just don't understand it. I don't know what happened. I don't know. He said, this is amazing to me. He said, all I think is that you must need this. He gave me a love offering for $670 or something like that. That was enough to get home, feed the family, and get on the road. Our God's an awesome God. He's put us in places all the time. You know, a lot of times I think when we're put in those places, we need to look around and say, boy, who needs a gospel tract? Who needs to know about Jesus? Who needs to know? Who needs to know about going to heaven? There might be somebody there that's on the brink of just destroying their lives. But yet, we don't focus on that. We focus on, oh my, I ran out of gas. What am I going to do? Oh, my. My wife's going to yell at me for telling stories. And we look at ourselves as I. You know, the best way to get wisdom is to get pride out first. Then we can fill up on wisdom. Are you focused? Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But God forbid that I should glory. We have a lot to answer for, church. We've got a lot to answer for. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time. God, I pray now that you continue, Lord, to speak to hearts. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. With heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I'd be shameful if I didn't ask these questions. If you're here tonight and you're not sure of heaven, I sure would like to pray for you. I'm not going to come down and embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I don't know you folks. You don't know me. But God knows all our hearts. You'd say, well, I've been going to this church for years. I didn't ask that question. I think it's a great thing. But do you know Christ as your Savior? You'd say, I'm not sure of that. Can I pray for you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want me to pray for you, would you just make eye contact with you? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I like to say, I won't come back and embarrass anybody. I won't even call you out by gender. But I'll call your heart out to God. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as Savior, would you make sure that I see your eyes so I can pray for you? Christian, are you focused? What are you doing in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to have to give an account one day. I hope the Lord can look down on you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. As we stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, Lord, thank you for this time. God, I pray now that you speak to our hearts. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to do the best we can for you. In your precious name we ask. Preacher.
What page on, Brother Mark? If you want to come for any reason, you come now as we sing.